All right, that, so that was a lathe cut recording made by, I guess the way that those work, they go right live to kind of a flexi disc type material. Is that right, Arrington?
There's no way to overdub with a lathe cut. Well, wow. Actually, I mean, you could play another lathe cut and then record yourself playing over that. But it's a machine that was once a relatively common household item. This is before the advent of tape recording, so you could get a blank acetate, and if you wanted to record like a letter to grandma, and mail it to her, you could set up. It looks just like a record player, but it has a playing arm, and it also has a cutting needle, which is a separate arm. The records I make, I'm recording directly to plastic picnic plates. And they sound great.
Yeah, I thought that sounded pretty cool. So,
yeah.
So you just have a few of these left, it looks like, and I see that they also showcase your artwork and.
Oh art. Yeah, they're all hand painted, and then I make like CD compilations with the best ones in them, and yeah, they're almost gone. I gotta make more. So, next tour.
So each lathe cut, I mean. I guess maybe you make a copy onto some sort of digital format, but they're kind of one of a kind recordings. Is that the case?
Yeah, that's the idea. I mean, I'll kind of pick and choose my favorite pieces and then make like I'll make like a digital backup copy. But when you when you get the actual plastic plate, that's the only master copy of that piece. I mean, there's no way to duplicate them easily anyway.
So, wow.
Yeah,
I've heard some lathe cut recordings by Nautical Almanac from Baltimore, and you guys were just in Baltimore.
Yeah,
in
we were just in Baltimore. I didn't see those guys, but I know them a little bit, and they have like the Cadillac version of that kind of machine. They have a much bigger machine. I think that they're actually able to make kind of more like real records with their machine. I'm not sure about that, but the one I have is more of a home unit, so I can't really get much bigger than like an 8 or 9 inch plate. I can't do like LP length recordings.
These are all about 7 inch.
Yeah,
7 inch size.
7.5, 7.25, 8 inches. They're they're cut by hand, so they're a little bit little janky.
You always bring some interesting stuff with you, Arrington. When last time that you were here at the station, you brought a Shruti box for the set with Gene Jonas, and this time totally different but somehow connected window into the different types of art that you're making. And
it's a window into the inner recesses of my mind.
So where. You know, I got some questions actually. Herb from Santa Cruz in advance. He wrote in to say he's got a couple questions for you. He says he's a non-native speaker of Indonesian, wondering the circumstances under which you learned the Bahasa Indonesia.
Well, I figure if I put out a record in Indonesian, I'd get a little bit more airplay on WFMU.
it's a gimmick.
It's kind of the real honest. To goodness, honest to God story is I was trying to impress a girl. I met also a non-native speaker of Indonesian, but a speaker nonetheless, at an art opening a couple years back, and it was. On an observational level, it was love at first sight, and then I also heard her speaking Indonesian to someone, and I knew how to say one or two things because I used to take like a gamelan class back in college, so I think I said like selamat malam, it's like good evening or whatever, and that was just enough to initiate a conversation with this very beautiful woman, and over the course of a few months, I decided that I might as well just teach myself as much of the language as I could learn and write an entire album's worth of material. and record it and produce it and release it as a way to woo her.
And did it work?
Well,
Another story.
It's another story. It's had results.
So this album, Malaikat Dansinga, is the name of the album. It's under your name.
Yes.
And I believe you play all the instruments on the album.
Mostly the recording is a collaboration with Carl Blau.
Right.
So he's the producer as such, and you know on tracks where I'm playing drums, he's playing bass, or I'll be playing guitar and he plays drums, or you know it kind of goes all around, but it's...
I didn't realize he played on the album. That's...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's great. We've got to have him by the station sometime.
Next, oh, you need
next
to.
Next chance we get.
Yeah. He plays on almost every song, I think.
Oh, wow.
It just, you know, we wanted to get a live sound for the basic tracks, so like the drums and bass are all live, and then, you know, it's built on overdubs with guitar and voice and all that. But then it's since the album came out, it's morphed into this band kind of thing, and we've been touring, and there's definitely a rotating cast of people who have appeared on stage with me to sing these songs. There's kind of like an Olympia version of the band, and now we have like a touring outfit, and then actually for the remainder of the tour after the Death by Audio show, Jermaine Baca from Old Time Religion is also going to be drumming with me. So we might have to do a couple shows where we do like, you know, like an Old Time Religion cover set or something. We added an Old Time Religion concert to the tour.
Yeah, you know, I saw that. So I saw a poster for that at Cake Shop.
Exactly. So we're playing at Death by Audio
I thought
Friday as Malaikat Dansinga, but we're playing Saturday as Old Time Religion. And that's also with Aaron Hartman and Ben Hartman. So upright bass saxophone would be the entire classic lineup.
Oh, that'll be so great.
I
saw that listed on, I saw like a flyer for it at Cake Shop, and I was like, oh, they must be confused because I knew you were on tour doing this.
It was originally going to be a Malaikat show, but we kind of pulled some strings and got everyone together on board for it, and it's going to be fantastic.
Very cool. Yeah. I heard you know, definitely heard some kind of snippets of Old Time Religion, maybe a guitar lick from the song Cold Water in that set that you
guys
just played.
Well, and that's actually okay. Well, in Indonesian, saying Cold Water doesn't really work, but it roughly speaking, the first song we played is a cover or an old, you could say it's an Old Time Religion tribute song. It's the
nice.
The Indonesian is going down into the water. Because, you know, the word for cold didn't sound very cool. I have to write for the sound as much as the meaning, and so you have to make adjustments to get things to fit together sometimes.
I mean, that's very clear. It's not as much about, I mean, it's definitely about what you're saying, you know, bringing in translated William Blake and things like that, but it's also about the sound of the voice and like timbre. And, you know, I read in an interview that you said you'd mastered throat singing by the time you were 5 years old, just kind of trying to emulate the sounds of like dinosaurs and.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I mean, I didn't know anything about throat singing.
Right.
But I wanted to make every kind of sound that I could make. So, I don't know about when I was five, but I have a tape recording that my mother made when I was about eight. No, maybe seven. Cause we had, no, probably 8 years old, 8 or 9 years old. And I'm, you know, to me it was just a sound effect. I was making like kind of a motorcycle sound, like, you know, that sort of a thing. But it, you know, it's an unusual sound for a child to make, I guess.
Wow, you should release that.
I mean, I could play it on WFMU or something, and people, you know, it's not something that would. Anyone would want
to. I would play it.
Release, but
it would be in heavy rotation.
Okay. Well, I'll have to send it.
I haven't even heard it.
Yeah.
But well, I might play it.
It's unusual.
Now we had another question from a listener who asked about your name. Actually, I'd wondered the same if it's your given name or if it's a reference to the god, the Greek god Dionysus and Dionysian rites.
A lot of people ask me that. It's weird. Well, I mean, there. I think we capture the essence of a certain type of Dionysian rite in the performances that I'm known for. There's an element of trance, an element of the transcendental, an element of to me the idea of a Dionysian. Well, it kind of gets lumped in with the whole, you know, wine and sex kind of thing. But it's to me, on a more metaphysical level, it's the idea of embodying the sacred as a physical experience. So rather than kind of trying to get out of your body, or to, like, you know, rather than ignoring the physical realm as something separate from what is sacred, it's embodying the sacred and actually giving the sacred you know, this kind of holy energy as a physically manifested experience. And so that's what that means to me.
I'm glad I asked.
Yeah, no, so, it's a good question.
So it's not your given name, then?
Well, I didn't say that.
Okay, so it could be.
It could be. I mean, who knows?
It will remain a mystery.
You have to look at my passport to know.
Let's see. You mentioned, I don't know, the name and music and your visual art all kind of seem... To me, they're part of, like, a very cohesive whole, even though, let's see. People who are listening online, they can take a look at the album cover to the album Malaikat Dansinga. They can see some of the visuals that accompany this album.
I don't know if you saw, there's a new video that I put on YouTube about 2 weeks ago for the song Rasa Sentuh. I have a YouTube.
Oh, yeah, with you drawing.
Right.
Live. So that was a really cool video.
So I have a YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. Listeners can look that up. Arrington Didiniso. YouTube.com/Arrington Didiniso. You'll have to figure out how to spell it. But there's a video. The footage is from an installation I did in at Fabrica Fluxus in Bari, in Italy, about a month ago. And. They captured footage of me while I was drawing this kind of large, like a wall-sized drawing, and then it's edited with music, and then it's like there's footage from the opening and all that. So you get to kind of peek into, sort of a connective window in seeing how the music and the drawing and painting side of things all connect together.
Yeah, no, that was a very cool video. Actually, I posted it to the Facebook page for this radio show, and I was like, instead of trying to explain all the things that are going to happen on the radio tomorrow, here's a video.
It's hard to explain it to people sometimes, and it's you know, in terms of going on the road and promoting a band and publicizing concerts and whatnot, it's always a tricky thing because, you know, people will sort of. In talking about it, they'll kind of latch on to, like, one aspect of something and yet not really understand how it fits in with the other parts of it. I mean, like, you know, it could be a throat singing concert, but it's not just a throat singing concert, and it actually really has nothing to do with, like, Tuvan throat singing. It's this whole other way of throat singing, and then Indonesian lyrics are another thing, but it's not Indonesian music. It's not traditional music of any kind. It's its own little animal, and I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, well, I feel like in your art, you've hit on these things that are kind of universal. You know, they keep popping up in various cultures, the throat singing in Tuva and in Tibet, and you as a 5-year-old making those recordings, and it all kind of fits together, and it's always a pleasure to have you by WFMU. This is, what, like the fourth time that you've done a WFMU-related event that I know of, at least.
I'd say that we've definitely built a relationship, and I'm really, really happy with that.
Well, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you very much, Jason.
And fortunately, we're out of time, but we'll have to do this another time.
All right.
We'll future.
Catch you next time. See you all on Friday night, Death by Audio, Malaikat Dansinga playing live. It's going to be rad.
And Saturday, Old Time Religion at
the Cake Shop.
Wow, very cool. So thanks again to Nehemiah and Ruben and Arrington and Dave Mombach for engineering, making everything sound awesome. And I will be gone the next couple weeks, but Noah of Coffee Break for Heroes and Villains is going to be filling in, and that's going to be awesome. So be sure to tune in next Tuesday, and I'll see you in a little bit. Joe Belock is up next with the Three Chord Monty here on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, worldwide on the World Wide Web at WFMU.org.